You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
He's got the fiery furnace, he's got the lion's den, he's got all over heaven, and he's God that I trust in. I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God, he'll always be the same. Well, he's got up on the platform, he's got back at the door, he's got in the amen corner, and he's got all over the floor. I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God, he'll always be.
Oh, let's sing it again. He's New York City,
God of New York City, he's God of Tennessee, he's God of Odessa, Texas, and he's God all over me. I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God, he'll always be the same. Well, he's God that healed my body, he's God that saved my soul, he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and now I overflow. He's God all over heaven, and he's God that I trust in. I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God, he'll always be. Well, he's got up on the platform, he's got back at the door, he's got in the amen corner, and he's got all over the floor. I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God.
You may be seated in the presence
of the Lord. Pastor Johnny, you'll like that song, that last verse. It says he's got up on the platform, he's got back at the door. I'm Pentecostal, and you know I've kind of talked a little bit about that. But see, that amen corner thing, when I was a little kid growing up, those of us that wanted to get a little loud and wanted to say amen, they used to put us off in the corner of the church. That's where that verse comes from. We get a little bit too rowdy, Leland, and they want to set me off in the corner over there. So that's where that amen corner thing come from, okay? It's a God awful truth, I'm telling you. Amen.
How'd you learn all those words?
Well, I wrote them on the back of my hand.
Goodness. I like that song. It kind of fits in with the message tonight, because I wanted to speak on to change or not to change. He talked about God is the same, and God is. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, right after the middle book of the Bible, Psalms. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to the book of Proverbs, if you hold your hand up, we got some Bibles coming. Anybody like to have a Bible? All right. Anybody else? Everybody got a Bible? Needs one. Okay. All right. Very good. Proverbs. We're going to read a verse, Old Testament, and then share another verse, and then we're going to read a verse, and then share another verse. Both of them talking about the same thing. Proverbs 24:21 says this, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Now, along with that, turn to Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, if I find it, says this. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now go back to the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Hebrews, over in the New Testament, last big book before you get to the book of Revelation, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, speaking of Jesus Christ, says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now when we talk about the old paths, the old ways, things not changing, I'm not talking about technology. I like airplanes. I'd rather ride than walk. I like cushioned pews in the church. I like air conditioning. I like the improvement. I'm talking about God's ways of doing things. God's word, God's ways, God's work. Man has been trying to improve on that ever since Eden. You remember what Satan told Adam and Eve? He said, if God, in this essence, what he said, if God really loved you, he'd let you eat of that tree. God had said, every tree in here you may freely eat. No diet programs. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it or you're going to die. One stipulation. We're not talking 10 commandments, people. We're talking about one easy to read theology. Very easy, very simple. And Satan comes along and said, if God really loved you, if God really cared, he'd let you eat of that tree. God wouldn't limit what you were to eat if he really loved you. And so we started this conflict about God's love back and forth for years. Now, in the past few years, we've had a bunch of new things come up in the church world. Terms like the emerging church. Terms like the new evangelicals. Things that are going to do things different. Lifestyle evangelism. And people decided that they weren't getting as many people in church as they wanted, so they needed to do something else to get more people. And so let's change things and we can get more people with it. And so what we've done, we moved from feeding the sheep to entertaining the goats, pretty much. What we're doing in most of our churches sometimes. But there's a guy that just recently has created a firestorm. He is one of those leaders in the new evangelical movement. He's a leader in the emerging church movement. This guy pastors a church with a 10,000 membership in Grand Rapids, Michigan, called Mars Hill Bible Church. Name sounds good. Yeah, big church. Nice church. And this guy's just finished a book that even his peers have said, you've gone too far. And here's what he said. Here's the title of the book. It's a long title. He said, Love Wins. A book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who ever lived. That's the title of Rob Bell's book. And here is his conclusion. That there's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as punishment. That he just cut to the chase. Now, most of those people have believed that, but they don't want to be up front with it. They like to put the spin to things like politicians do. And this has been going, like I say, since Eden. Satan has always wanted us to doubt God's love. He's wanted us to doubt God's justice. He's wanted us to doubt God's righteousness. And so 100 years ago, they began to change our Bibles. Now, the Bible that Grandma had mentioned hell 54 times. Since all of those 200 plus Bibles in English have come out since that time, the closest one it got to 54 times only got to 32 times. It took hell out 22 times out of the Bible. Just deleted it like you would on your computer. Just hit the delete button. Now that was the best of the group. The others went as many as 42 times deleting it. That means they left it in there 12 times. Now you start taking, now they didn't say it didn't exist and they didn't take it totally out. What they did was sowed the seed of doubt. Like Satan who said, yea, hath God said? Did God say this? Maybe we ought to look at it. The next thing that came along was the power of positive thinking. And we've gone from Norman Vincent Peale to Joel Osteen. Just everything's going to be good and wonderful. And if you'll just do right, things going to be good. Do you know what the phrase, I looked this up, the phrase, the love of God, that phrase appears in the Bible as that phrase 13 times. You know how many times the wrath of God appears in the Bible? 10. They're pretty close, isn't it? 13 and 10. The wrath of God is mentioned almost as many times as the love of God. And if anybody ought to know about the love of God, it's us here tonight because God has saved our rotten, no good souls. And if He hadn't loved us, we wouldn't even be in here. See, Calvary shows you the love of God. But let me tell you something else about that. You read through all the Old Testament, 39 books. Then you read Matthew and Mark and Luke, and you do not find out that God loves everybody till you get to John 3:16. That's the first time it's ever mentioned. God so loved the world. He never mentions that before. That He gave His only begotten Son. You know where God loves sinners? At Calvary. When He's talking about all the things that can't separate us from God, look at Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans 8, and this is a tremendous chapter. This is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. There's more references to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 than there is in the entire book of 1 Corinthians, which talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But look at the last two verses of Romans chapter 8. He said, I'm persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. But there's no period there. Where is the love of God? If you're looking at that verse. In Christ Jesus. There's no such thing as God's unconditional love. And we hear it constantly. But every time you see it in the Bible about God's love, it's going to center around Calvary. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He said, hear all of these things from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How many positive thinkers you think were in the flood? My granddaughter, when she was little, and I'd take her out, and we'd swing in the backyard. That was her and Papa's time, and I would tell her Bible stories. And she was also getting Bible stories in Sunday school, and the little kiddie college that she was going to was very good at that. And one day I started to tell her about Noah and the Ark. And she said, Papa, I know that story. I said, well, then you tell me. She said, there were 8 people saved in the flood. I said, that's right. She said, there were Noah and his wife and 3 sons and their wives. And I said, that's right. And she was telling me all about it. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I said, well, what did God do with the rest of the people? She thought for a minute and she looked at me and said, he flushed them. I love that. That's the best thing. He flushed them. Don't you think there was some positive thing? How many positive thinkers you think was going with Pharaoh when they were chasing the Jews through the Red Sea? I bet there were some positive thinkers and they said, well, we're going to get them. And God just closed the sea. How many people do you think were positive thinkers in Sodom and Gomorrah? And I know that Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, when they decided to hold that money back from God, let me say this about that. They didn't get in trouble for holding back the money. They got in trouble for lying about it. See, they didn't. In fact, Paul told them, hey, it was your money. You could have done what you wanted to with it. And I think it's Peter that did that, not Paul. But he said, it's your money. You could have done what you wanted to. You didn't have to come in here and say you was giving it to God. It's your money. Do what you want to with it. That's what we try to teach you about the rec room. God's not broke. But both of them decided that they just tell everybody that they gave it to God so people could pat them on the back and say, man, you're really doing great. And the first ushers in the church didn't seat anybody. They took the dead out. The Bible said that Peter asked him, did you sell that property for that much? And he said, yes, I did. Did you give out money? Yes, I did. He said, y'all come get him. He died, and they took him out. 2 hours later, his wife comes in. He said, did y'all sell that property for that much? Give it. Yes, we did. He said, people that carried your husband out are waiting on you, and she died and came get him. They're both positive fingers. Yeah, this is what we're going to do. We have this over and over. The third thing about this group is never any separation. And this is one of the things, and we've been doing this for years. We've got to be relevant. We want to make our church relevant. We want to make our preaching relevant, which is the code word. I mean, we'll just put up with anything. We'll just water it down where it'll fit everybody. We got one size fits all. Then there's this being tolerant. We eat up with this word tolerant anymore. We need to be tolerant. Not necessarily. It depends on what we're to be tolerant. We're not to be tolerant about sin. We're not to be tolerant about abortion. We're not to be tolerant about a lot of things that are against God. And then we've had values clarification, which simply means there's no black and white. See, it's an alternate lifestyle, Leland. Don't everybody believe like you do? And that's pretty obvious. I know that. But it's another life. No, it's an abominable lifestyle. That's what God called it. You could at least wait until the kids got to be a certain age and then kill them. That's what Herod wanted to do when he tried to kill Christ. He said everybody 2 years old and younger. And he said just kill the boys because it won't be a woman that's the Messiah. A lot of folks don't even know that. There's no really good nor bad. Now, here's the question that was kind of interesting to me after reading both sides of this battle. And Rob Bell is a very well-known guy. He's a graduate of Wheaton College. He's a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary. He's had other books out. He is one of the leaders of the emergent church. What is amazing about him, and my question, if nobody's going to hell, and even his peers are upset with this, I got three questions about it. If there's no such thing as hell, why has he got a church? Wouldn't that bring up that question? Why have a church if nobody's going to hell? Number two, if there is no hell and nobody going to hell, why does he have any kind of Bible? Why even have one? Why even have one that you need to alter things in? Why even have one? And thirdly, if there is no hell, why do you write the book? Now, I'll tell you why he wrote the book, to make money. That's why they print Bibles too, by the way. See, we got another one that's going to do something a little better. And you can follow that money deal. What we have, Jesus said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You want to get to heaven? You know what Jesus said? And these guys will get up on a Sunday morning and talk about a lowly Jesus. But you know what the lowly Jesus said? You can't get to the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in the back rooms, they call him an egotist. But up front, they say the lowly Jesus. See, they want Jesus in the cradle, not in an empty tomb. They don't even mind having him on the cross, son. They just don't want him at the empty tomb, to where he arose. And as we enter into a time and that our nation, like never before, has got so many different mixed up religions of all kinds, of all ilks. In this time, what we're missing is Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me tell you something about that. If he's wrong, we've only got three things we can deduct from Jesus' statement in John 14:6. Either he had a mental problem and didn't know what he was talking about. We call those lunatics. He just didn't understand. He didn't know. And if you called him a lunatic, it'd be many people get mad, not Jesus. Or, if he's not a lunatic, then he's a liar. If there's another way, if there's any other way to get to heaven, I don't care what it is, doesn't make any difference. It can be good, it can sound good, it can look good. If there's any other way to get to heaven. And Jesus said that, he lied. That would make him a liar if we just cut to the chase. Or, if he meant this, and if he knew what he was talking about, and he told the truth, then he's Lord. It's one of the three. And every man will have his day to stand before God and argue his point. But it will all boil down, what did you do with my son? It won't have anything to do with what you do with the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics. It won't have anything to do with how much money did you give or not give. It won't have anything to do with how many drugs you took. Have to do, did you trust my son, Jesus Christ? That is the reason this whole book was put together. It said he came, the Son of Man, come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why we do Rec Room week in and week out. We've tried at times to just to keep the number. And oftentimes when people come forward, and we've had so many, and I thank God for that. I'm not complaining about that at all. But we couldn't keep a perfect count. But we have people that's come to know Jesus Christ in this record from all over the state of Texas. We've had people who were Christians and got their heart back right again down here at this altar. That's why we have this. When we talked about starting a rec room with some ex-inmates and soon-to-be ex-inmates that we were visiting with about this, we talked about keeping the tone spiritual, number one. We'll try to help you with your job. We want you to find a job. We'll try to help you with clothes. The church has got a closed place. They'll feed you come Saturday morning. They have a great breakfast. This church will go out of their way. Brother Doug will go out of his way if you need glasses to try to help you get them. There's a lot of things that if these two churches or loops can't do, then they know somebody that can. But the most important thing is that if you miss heaven, I've been a failure. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to bow your heads a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Tonight, you've never been saved. You've had opportunities before. For whatever reason, you decided not to take them. But tonight is another opportunity. You know, because you've heard the plan of salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know that. But you've never done it. Tonight, God's given you another opportunity. How many more will he give you? I don't know. But he's given you one tonight. In a moment, after we pray, I want you to step out, come down this aisle and say, tonight I give my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of running. Lord, here am I. Do what you want to with me. There's also some of you out there that you know the Lord and you recall the time and the moment that Jesus came into your life, and somehow, some way, you ended up going back to the old ways. You left what you knew was good and went back to the old ways. And that's been pretty sick and tiring too. Tonight you just need to come, and not you and somebody else, but just you need to kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Like the prodigal son, just make me a servant. That's all I want. Will you stand to your feet, heads bowed, as I pray, and then I want you to come. Our Father, you know the hearts, everybody here. We know that some have been to this threshold before and have just for some reason never give in. Tonight I pray that the Holy Spirit would break the power of Satan on their life and they'd be saved. Father, there are those that are saved that there's not any evidence to convict them of that other than their own testimony that they've been saved. Would they come tonight and come clean with you? And as David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, because they don't have that joy. We ask that you bless this invitation for Christ's sake. Amen. While we stand, head still bowed, eyes still closed, Brother Dove's going to sing, Lord, I'm coming home. Would you come right now and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior? Would you come and say, I need to pray and turn it over to the Lord? Right now. Come on. It's that time again. You've been there. Would you come tonight? Brother Doug is going to sing one more verse. No one comes, we're through. But I want you to have this chance. Are you doing what God wants you to do? That's all I want to know. Are you doing what God wants you to do? As he sings this verse, would you do it? You have the opportunity tonight. Would you do it? Come on. Coming home.
I now repent with bitter tears.
Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget the box as you go out. The refreshment bar is open. Breakfast Saturday morning. If you need something, we'll check with our committee.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.